Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Of paranormal and UFO, and maybe not in that exact explicit way, but bringing those two things together because they do factor in. Paranormal, UFO, they have common things, and I've been there, I can tell you. Well, from the Association Transcommunication, Tom Butler, my guest, coming in just a minute. First, floating. I want to go back to that. Casey, floating Casey, I now 3 years, I had no idea it had been that long. But one way to get rid of some of that extra stress, and it works with pain management, it works with if you have any kind of mental overwhelm, like creativity, enhancing sports performance, because you're going into a sensory deprivation tank. It can be a tank or a room. Floating KC has the rooms, and they're fantastic for getting yourself, I think, realigned. I use it for meditation. I go in there. It's always different. Sometimes I'm like amplified, coming out just absolutely, wow, I've had an epiphany of some kind. And this time it was like a day or two later when I saw Deep Prasad. Yeah, I got to get the name right. He's a quantum physicist. And his revelation Thanksgiving Day was mind-blowing. Okay, so I'm bringing my guest in because Tom Butler, I want to have him included on all of this stuff. And Tom, the last time we spoke, I think we had samples of the EVPs that you do, electronic voice phenomena. But it's way beyond that. You've got you've got books, you've got a website, tremendous, and right now it's got a welcome page. So if you're wanting to find out, welcome to Association Transcommunication is the site. We can check that out at atrans.org. I'll let Tom spell it.
Yeah, A-T-R-A-N-S. It's Atrans Communication. It's Association Transcommunication, so it's from that.
Okay, and this was started by Sarah Estep way back in the day, all right? Way back in the day.
Yeah, 82.
Oh, man. Okay. So she's a pioneer and figured out how to record voices and get information like that. And if you've ever heard, if you're listening, if you heard something, you know, like either a telephone or like an answering machine message that you didn't do, that it was provided by somebody who was deceased that you know, and you've got some great, I think, in the library archives of these kinds of things. This is what it is. And it's fascinating because we still don't have any explanation for it.
Yes, it's either accepted by science as pseudoscience or, you know, fake science, or it's accepted by science as a delusion. Not too many of them think it's actual dead people talking, so we're still working on that.
Well, the thing is, though, and you have some studies that say that when a certain voice is heard and it's able to be matched up with the technology of the voice of the person who is deceased and the voice of the person or whatever is registering on the recording device, I believe I read it was like 95% that it was... Insane.
Yes, and one study, a gentleman in Italy used forensic quality software, which he was trained for, and matched up the recording of a person while he was still alive with the recording of the EVP, and it was within, you know, the court would have said that was the same voice.
Okay. See, that is what is phenomenal, and I think gives us some more... a scientific aspect that brings a little bit more, I think, credibility to it. And, you know, we all have our own personal beliefs, and my own experience with this stuff is it works for me. And I think that's a huge thing, is that, you know, if you know that you are more, I think, apt to have these kinds of things happen, I think it has to do with your energy and whether you have that kind of ability to start out with, that you're more in sync with these kinds of things. There's other things, if you know, you can project, you can make it real. I try not to do that because that doesn't help anybody.
Well, I try to boil this down. EVP is just one of the, I like the model of the blind men trying to tell you, describe an elephant.
Yes.
And the EVP is just one of the legs, or possibly the tail. It's you have to look at like the visual form. It's we call it all transcommunication is audio, and the visual form is every bit. It's another leg because it's even further out on the spectrum of frontier science, and therefore I've had really again academics I trust tell me that, look, that was a really nice presentation you did, and we were impressed with the EVP, but you better not talk about the visual stuff anymore. So there goes that leg of the elephant.
Oh, So on the front page, when you're going to the AT visual ITC study, and there's an image, and you can see a face. So is that, so we're making that, because that's what we tend to do is make faces out of everything we see, or are we doing that, or is that an image that's legit?
That's one of the arguments, but we've done studies, online studies, where we'll tell us what you see, and we've get a pretty high percentage of people telling us that this is, you know, like I have a picture of a dog up there, and they'll say, yeah, I see a dog, and he's looking toward my right shoulder, and so people can, if people can independently tell you what they're seeing without any prompting, then you've got a real face there or image there. And then the real question that has to be answered is, how did it get there? And like all human experience, science is here to help us understand our experiences. And they aren't there yet on that one.
Okay. So this is why I want to get into some of this. This just happened. I mean, when we were putting this together, we were going to go a different direction. But you decided to go to this convention with brought MUFON and UFOs. I'm like, okay, fine. There we go. The paranormalists and the ufologists. Let's go there. All right. So we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and we're going to go into this and how these two need to get together to connect a few dots. It's Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Yeah, this is stuff that I think when we start connecting the dots of the paranormal aspect that is also part of UFO, ufology, then we're going to be making some huge, huge, I think, progress and tremendous leaps forward. Because when this happens, it isn't just about the nuts and bolts of, oh, it looks like it's a metal thing and it flashes and it's got lights and, oh, well, there's little people in there. It's of what happens to an experiencer as they're being told, look here, come outside and watch the flash, and then you remember a download of something that you had no idea was there before, the telepathic aspect. All of this stuff factors in. And some people who've had decades of experience with this and have told their stories over and over till they're blue in the face going, why isn't anybody paying attention? Now it's starting, I think, in a very clear way to become necessary to join forces. So Tom Butler, who's with the Association Transcommunication, and this is about studies that have to do with electronical anomalies, like with voices or with images, pictures, sounds, all of that stuff, trying to figure out if we do have communication from the deceased. And I'm having heard it myself without having to have it recorded, I know we do. It's just a matter of how to get the science behind that. And that's what Tom's trying to do. But you made a mistake. Well, maybe. Just when you were so focused and really homing in on, okay, this is where it goes, you went to a conference and met with some ufology people. And so let's go forward with that. What happened?
Okay. First of all, they have we attended one years and years ago. It was the year that the Heaven's Gate committed suicide.
Oh, my.
Because of and with the trigger was at that conference. The guy that was a fake NASA scientist. So anyway, we went to this one in Phoenix, and it very well organized. Didn't meet a person I didn't like. They're in, and I'm getting grouchy in my old age, and all of them were great. The differences, though, is like this one lady, an experiencer. She's well connected in the community. She gave a talk about her experiences, and she also played a couple EVP. She participates in ghost hunts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I went up to her and I said, "Look, I'm trying to recruit people to help judge my my ET study, my visual ETC alien faces study."
Mm-hmm.
She looked at the pictures and said, "Okay, well, that's nice," and then was absolutely uninterested in it. And I tried that, okay, let's try other people. I tried about 6-7 people, and they're all, "Oh, that's nice," but
yeah.
It just wasn't their direction they wanted to go. Now, it's possible that they didn't make out the faces, and they thought I was just crazy. But what I noticed throughout was that they talk about phenomena from the perspective of their ET interests, but not from the perspective of, it's like ghost hunters. Well, to be respectful, I should say that the hauntings investigation people often are guilty of not associating the ghosts they're looking for with dead people or people on the other side or survived personality.
Right. Right.
Well, we have the same thing going on with this UFO community, I think, at least what I experienced. And I've got to say that I am not an expert. I haven't been around that community that long.
Mm-hmm.
I am in the middle of the test to become a field investigator, which means I'm a neophyte. But the work, definitely, they're talking about, I talked about the elephant. They've got one of the legs of the elephant.
Yes.
And if we don't communicate with them about what we see and what they see, then we're not ever going to have a real clear idea of what it looks like.
In my own experience, the high volume of paranormal stuff that went on with my encounters was absolutely unavoidable and inexplainable. It's what do you, where do you go with this? You call MUFON and say, "Well, there was a sighting. It was inside my house, and this was going on, and these other things happens. The pet responds, and I was given, time information. They altered my time space," and they don't do that. They're not really set up to do that. And so when you call, because I've talked to some of the investigators, and they say, "Well, can you help me? Because you had these experiences, and people I'm talking to now are reporting these experiences, and we really don't go there." And that's what right now is a big stopper. I've had people on Twitter try and connect with your talking, those images. He's getting images through ice cubes, through water. And you can see these little images and faces and saying, "They are connecting with me." Okay, where do you go with that? Because this person is having a legit experience, and we don't have the science, the data, any way to figure out how this works, except to say, "Well, that's that person's experience." So maybe that helps you.
But we have a developing understanding, and we have we have subject matter specialists. We have people who are knowledgeable about these subjects. I've probably got 500 or 600 pages on my various websites discussing these things. So one of the things, when people have these experiences, I agree, they have to be explained. But we've progressed a lot. There are people out there that at least are giving some information if the experiencer will take the time to go look for it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it's a deep dive. It's really a deep dive.
It is. Well, it's because it's totally, again, we're way out on the fringe of understanding. And about 9 times out of 10, you're going to run into somebody who says you're delusional. So what you're looking for is that one person says, "Yeah, we kind of been around that. We could give you an idea of what you're experiencing, but we don't know why or how."
Right. Right.
And that's where we are with this right now.
Just part of it saying, "Yes, we get it. You're not crazy, but we do have to find out more and ask more questions." It's not just asking more questions. It's asking better questions. And when somebody's had an experience, like when I told Paula Harris, she was doing an event, Laughlin, I think that was one of the first UFO groups that she put on, was Starworks, I think was the name of it.
Okay, yeah, it was Laughlin where we attended our first conference.
Okay, well, she was getting this together, and I was talking to her and telling her about an experience I had, and I said, "It was a barometric pressure shift. You felt like you were in a high altitude when these entities were present. Then the altitude shift was there, and it was all of a sudden, that was something that was tangible, aside from the animals reacting and that kind of thing. So she said, "Have you talked to anybody about this?" Well, no. No. What do I say? And you just report it, and that's where it goes. And so these kinds of things, at least when I'm getting information from other people and she knew it was valid and other people know, well, here's a hallmark of some of these experiences, then we've got something to work with. And so seeing what you're doing and combining forces and saying, okay, I don't know what they're doing, I'm going to learn to be a MUFON investigator and what goes into that, so you can see what maybe needs to be added to that element, because there's still a lot of room to cover in terms of joining these different aspects of metaphysical, paranormal, anomalous research. Does that make sense?
Right. Actually, I'm turning into a reductionist. You know how the New Age people hate reductionist science and everything. Well, in reality, if reality is knowable, then it the principles are knowable and how they interact is knowable, and that's a reductionist science. And we're going that direction. We have to say, okay, I don't understand how these parts connect, but I do understand that these parts exist. And I think that that's where we are right now. Where my frustration, and I suspect I kind of sense that you're trying to figure this out yourself.
Yeah.
That people need to take some time to find themselves somebody to sit by and learn.
Yes. Okay, hold on. Hang on. We're going to take a break. Tom Butler is my guest. We're talking about this, and the thing that I think makes it even more obvious and apparent that we're improving and connecting dots is with the scientists. The guys, you know, with the quantum physics guys have experiences. Because then they have to go, OMG. Well, somebody did that. Deep Prasad. And we're going to share that. And Tom, I'm going to give you this overview so you're on the same page too. But when he made this Thanksgiving on Twitter, big, huge revelation, announcement, confession that he had an experience, a legit experience back in February of 2019, everybody went, it was like, wow, social media just came to life. All right, we're going to talk about that in the next break. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Okay, so I was getting into a lot of this stuff, and I had been doing my own search, and I meditate. I have been doing this for more than 20 years, having this other experience that's beyond reality and lets me know that we are not just this physical thing, but we are also an essence in non-corporeal form, whether you have an out-of-body experience or a near-death experience. And read those if you haven't, because that gives you a wider, broader view of what all is here. And once you start doing that consciousness research and understand, okay, this is mine, this belongs to me, this is what my imagination is bringing to the equation and how I'm amplifying it, or my fear, which is another thing we have to get beyond, or it is something that is external. And once you've got your own stuff together and doing that consciousness research, and what I was really bringing into the equation with the floating earlier, is it helps me back off. It helps me release. It helps me unwind. It helps me focus much more clearly and fixedly on one thing. And when I do that, then I let go of all this other stuff that's causing me some kind of annoyance and irritating other people as a result. But that's what I wanted to bring back into the talk here, is because when you get to that point and you happen to be a scientist and you've kind of eliminated other things out of your reality because they don't make sense and they're weird, then you have an experience. And all of a sudden, the weird is you, and you're in the middle of it. Deep Prasad, he's on Twitter. He is a quantum physicist from the University of Toronto, CEO of Reactive Q, and he's very active. If you haven't heard of him, then you will. I put a blog post up covering the whole thing, but he had on Thanksgiving this disclosure, and I think that's what I believe. Disclosure is personal. It's when we come together saying, this is what I have experienced, and he had this incredible encounter where in February 1st of 2019, broad daylight, he was paralyzed, couldn't move, saw three entities. And he's like, oh my gosh, this isn't real. Is it a hallucination? He can't prove it is. He can't prove it. He doesn't think it was. But he had hundreds of thousands of sentences projected in a language, he says, it looked like a marriage of Japanese and Egyptian hieroglyphics. He was terrified. He's like, oh, my gosh, are they going to kill me? You know, he's all these thoughts are coming through his mind. Is it real? How do I let him know I don't want to die? Please don't hurt me. I won't hurt you. All right. So he's trying to figure out what the sentences are. Everything is going just mind-numbingly fast. One thing he recognized was DNA, and he attributes that to the fact that that might mean that they know our language. But he also, you know, I'm not going to do the whole thing, but all of this stuff, like one of the entities jumped out on top of him. So he's having this one-on-one encounter, blowing his mind and thinking, I can't tell anybody about this. I can't. But ethically, he's saying, you know what? I have to realize I was biased against this. This is happening, and now I need to go somewhere with it. So he started studying. He started doing more research with, UFO people, contactees, to figure out some way to make sense of what's happening. And the story is evolving as we speak. But I wanted to bring that to your attention because, to me, this adds that science part of the equation where people who are also steeped in a science background can have an experience that brings them front and center into this phenomenon to say, what the heck? And then we go forward because they have other elements, given their background, to help make sense of these things. How does that sound?
That one of the most important progresses we've made has been when somebody with an academic training and expectation that they're going to figure out what happened to them has an experience like that, because what they do is it's not obviously not his field of study, but the experience he brings to it, the discipline of a person who knows how to study these things. And that's one of the major differences between, I'm a layperson, I'm just an engineer, but mm-hmm. I remember in college I was given 3 units on how to do a senior project, and that was it. And a person with a PhD degree, they live and die over doing a very well-disciplined study. Mm-hmm. So they know how to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what it sounds like he's going to bring to the table.
Well, and part of it, too, is beyond that, his experience, he said he felt like he lost his free will. He felt like something else was in control, and it knew his thoughts. And he said the after effect, at the time, though, it gave him an expansion. And this is, I've experienced this as well, where all of a sudden you are connected with something bigger beyond. There is no separation. All of a sudden there's this euphoric bliss. And he felt that. And he said for 2 weeks afterwards, he's like, whoa, wow. And then, you know, no drugs involved. He was just like, everything is, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. He said, and there are times now, because it's gone. It lasted 2 weeks. And he said he wishes he could bring that back. But he just thinks about it, and it's there. So it's, you know, that he's not in that phase, but it's, if he brings it to mind, then he's back. But he said, you know, if we all had this, it would end all of our battles overnight, and the world would be a different place. So this, to me, these are experiences that are that our collective consciousness is bringing to the equation to say, if this is going to get you to the next table, then the ETs are coming in.
Yeah, I think you're right, and each of us needs a different way of, you know, I have my unique way of learning, and you have yours, and so the ETs serve the purpose for some people. It's part of the revelation for our, you know, I look at transcommunication either in the form of an ET or in the form of EVP mm-hmm. as the modern day dispensation of knowledge that's comparable to 2,000 years ago with Jesus. Before that, I studied a Panage chat. I can't even pronounce it, but it's about 4,000 years ago. And then Hermes' work about 6,000 years ago. So we're in a new dispensation of understanding that I think is an awakening. Instrument-assisted awakening, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I think consciousness is evolving, and that was what I was going to earlier, was that if you are in a conscious state of your expanded awareness, you are more likely to be in sync with something else that is there that we can't necessarily see, but we're beginning to pick up on instruments, we're beginning to sense, we're getting to hear rumors about, we're beginning to see, you know, anomalous encounters. And when people, like when they're able to take orb photos, when they're able to have an encounter with the little people or with something else that we tend to say, when they have those encounters, it's because they're in sync. And that consciousness, I believe, is how we are
yeah, there's good research on that. The way our unconscious mind filters information. And so when you have a realization like he had, that basically tells his unconscious mind to accept the possibility of those experiences. And then from there on out, that when he encounters an ET, it's not going to look like a rabbit. It's going to look like an ET because his mind, his unconscious mind, isn't going to try to filter it into something more familiar.
And that, yeah. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so that awakening is really important. And the people that I work with, they've had that awakening. They just haven't, a lot of them haven't figured out what to do with it yet.
Well, and so that's what you off the air we were talking about, the Hemisync, that you have worked with hours and hours of Hemisync to help, you know, train, reprogram, pattern the brain. And those are the kind of things I think that give us, I think, an edge to just refine our focus.
Yeah, I think so. When I wake up in the morning, well, a lot of my last two books were written beginning with the kernel of an idea in the morning as I get out of bed.
And so it triggered that creativity.
Yeah.
And the two books, let's mention those. Well, I mean, yeah, that's why you're here too.
Oh, I don't know. They either they're going to sell or they're not. But they are tools. I wrote them as tools for, one of them I wrote, my favorite phrase nowadays is just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
and so you can't legislate morality. So my first book was all about the metaphysics of who we are and how we think and everything. And if you understand it, then you will also know that just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there are other people who know when you do and they'll take care of you. Ha, 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 ha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just be careful what room you wander into because people see you before you open the door. And that's a little reminder that it's bigger out there than you think. All right. Your immortal self, the exploring the mindful way. That's another. We're going to take a quick break. I want to come back and ask you a couple more questions about the EVPs and when people see these things in other ways, how you can help people expand their awareness too. It's Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. This is going by so fast. Association Transcommunication, my guest, Tom Butler. There's so much to cover. You are also doing a study, hoping for people to give you some feedback with this ET visual ITC study. And that's where you're seeing a picture or something, you know, a face or some kind of an image that makes sense. And then the person says, well, this is what I see here. So you can corroborate whether these things are universal or just, you know, a one-off. So you're wanting people to give some feedback on these?
Yes, there's a form on each page. Again, if you scroll down to the bottom of that website, what it is, on the front of atransc.org, on the upper left-hand corner, there's a picture of an ET, ITC version of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on that, it'll take you to a page, and then at the bottom of that are all these examples. Each one has a form associated with it on its own page. Fill it in, submit it. It helps me with the study. We need to have more participation in that. But there's another aspect of this, too. There's a lot of people who are doing really good work with collecting these examples with their own experiments.
Right.
And one of the things that will happen is that we'll get two different people to send in examples that look like the same. If there are aliens, then mm-hmm. it looks like they're from the same line of evolution.
Yay!
Right, so you start, and that's how it should be, and that's one of the things we can't really do when we're seeing pictures of loved ones on the other side.
Right.
When we see, like for instance, I've got a picture of a cow, and we know for sure what kind of a cow that is. or a dog. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing goes with this, but we need examples because it's an unknown. We don't know what an ET looks
what
like.
What they look like, yeah.
At least not through this media.
Yeah.
And so by getting multiple examples, so we need people submitting examples to us, too. And every page has a contact tool at the bottom of the page, and I'm always open for comments, suggestions, and examples.
Okay. We're running out of time. I do want to mention there's a fantastic book, and this is Martha Copeland, who wrote I'm Still Here. She was an active member of an organization and an EVP member. She had a death. Her daughter lost. The loss of her daughter. I'm trans. Never mind. Anyway, so what it is, it's I'm Still Here is the name of the book. And this is where one of these EVP things comes through that's absolutely phenomenal, because, and I'll let you explain it. This is one of those this is spot on. This is how it works.
Is this a Doja No?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Martha had the habit of leaving the recorder on while she's doing things. She was getting dinner ready, and somebody called up and said, let's go shopping. So she left her daughter's dog, Doja, in the house, untied up, and left the recording on. It's a voice-activated one. Anyway, the dog starts tearing up the place, and you hear in the recording Kathy's voice, we recognize, is saying, Doja, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard this one. And so it's on your website. You click that link, and you can hear the EVP.
Right.
Yeah. And see, we are so connected to our pets. And I've had, you know, the appearances after a pet has gone. And when I had German Shepherd Max, when he died, for 2 weeks there was a bark at the back door to let my other dog, Gracie, in. I thought Gracie had learned to bark. She only scratches on the door, and she doesn't bark. For 2 weeks, I thought he must have taught her before he died how to bark at the back door. And then I realized that wasn't her. And to this day, she only scratches. She doesn't bark. But my mom, who had helped me bury Max, went home, and within a few minutes, she heard a bark, and her two cats came rushing in the house because there was a dog outside. And then within a minute or two, outside her bedroom door was another bark. The dog was in the house, and it was Max. And but he had been very close to her as well. So I've had these things experienced, you know, so I know that these things happen. But again, you know, this is a personal anecdote, and we have to get together with our experiences and collaborate with other groups that are recording and documenting and sharing so that we can get a better grip on how this stuff works and how...
So another aspect of that, too, is that nobody has any... You aren't going to find that experience before it was recorded in anybody's memory, nobody in the world, if you were telepathic and you could access that information. So... In effect, it is one of our best proofs. That one EVP is one of our best proofs that we survived physical death.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You wonder when Doja is going, oh, Mom, you blew your cover.
Yeah.
So, trying to help poor Doja behave when she thought she was off the hook because nobody else could see Mom anymore. So why did she have to listen to her?
And in that book, the title of the book is also an EVP.
Oh, I'm Still Here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So for anybody who's experiencing these kinds of things, I love the fact that you are now going to be a MUFON member so you can figure out how to connect the dots between the paranormal explorers, investigators, researchers, and the ufologists, because there is still a big gap. And even then, the experiencers of the you know, the ET, alien, whatever you want to call it, UFO, they're all different too. They all disagree over whether, oh, that's a legit experience. Oh, there was somebody I know who's had traumatic after effects, and there was a movie out, Witness of Another World, that came out, and a lot of people who were experiencers said, well, I don't get that. I didn't have that. That's not real. And somebody else is going, oh my gosh, they finally got it. They finally covered this post traumatic stress that happens for decades. All right, so here we are.
One of the things I need to say again is that. For your UFO ufologist friends out there, mm-hmm. I am not certified, qualified. I'm not an expert in that field, and so I'm there to learn
yeah.
and try to bring something together. But I'm not going into with the assumption that, you know, okay, well, I'm going to fix this. That just doesn't work that way.
No, no, and yeah, I agree. It's just that we are learning from each other what to look for. What are the criteria? How, you know, how do I not project my bias on this? Where
yeah.
you know, and I there was somebody, oh gosh, Schwartz, I think I got it from one of the remote viewers who said that the how you know it's legit is it isn't something that you thought up. It's a complete surprise. When something surprises you, Stephen Schwartz, I believe, because he did the remote viewing things, and he said, that's your proof. When it's a surprise and an answer you did not anticipate and you did not project, that's when you've got something real. All right. Hey.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom. I'm sorry we don't have more time. So
okay.
That means we have to talk again.
Okay.
So, all right. Check out the website, ATRANSC, atrans.org. And if you've got an experience, share it. If you've got questions, ask Tom. Tom, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And then the website, Wendy's Coffee House, I'll put some links there. Got a new website. I just decided to reactivate my WordPress blog. That's where the Deep Prasad confession is. And the confession stuff continues because somebody contacted him and said, I wrote this as a, it was like a screenplay a year ago before this came out. All right. The story continues. Stay curious. Till next time. See ya.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.